Well, good morning. It is great to be with you again. I thoroughly enjoyed my time with you back in the spring. And once again, I think I said it back then, but I want to say it again. I am so grateful that you as a church are willing to give your pastors a sabbatical. It is such a difference and makes such a difference in their lives. I know because I had a couple of them, and I also know because what I do now helps me understand just how desperately pastors need a chance to get a break. So thank you for doing that, and especially grateful that you're giving my friend Jeff an opportunity for sabbatical and rest as well. I know it is making a big difference for him. I got together with him for lunch, I think it was about a month or 6 weeks ago, something like that, and just got to hear about that, and so thank you again for that. So, Tim said, I stepped away from pastoral ministry, full-time pastoral ministry, back in January, and am working in the manufacturing world now, north of Middlebury, just over the state line, and so I have about a 25-minute drive to work each day, and my kids accuse me of being nerdy. Because during that time, I listen almost exclusively to podcasts. On the way there and on the way back, I spend almost all of my time listening to podcasts. Anybody else here listen to podcasts while they're driving? How many of you actually know what a podcast is? Yeah, all right. So let me kind of bring you up to speed if you don't know what that is. Podcast is basically a series of pre-recorded talk shows that are online and on demand, where you can find somebody talking about just about anything under the sun. I mean, there are millions upon millions of these. And a lot of times, the guests and the hosts are everyday people that are sharing their expertise and experiences in a certain field. And so I listen to a lot of them, and I listen to topics ranging from leadership development to goal setting to neuroscience and discipleship to theology, and a whole lot more. And after you just heard that list, you now know why my kids think I'm so nerdy, right? So, I recently listened to a podcast that made the following statement. You have a soul, and it is very needy. You have a soul, and it is very needy. Our souls, they are needy because they are designed to be filled with the fullness of God. They're designed to be filled with the fullness of God, and yet often we don't fill our souls with the fullness of God. We fill it with all kinds of other kinds of things. I mean, do you realize today that you were created? God created you to be filled with all of His fullness. The creator of the universe, the God who is impossible for us to even imagine or comprehend, created you to be filled with all of His fullness. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in his letter to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, Paul writes, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Jesus Himself talks about being filled in the Bible passage that we're going to focus on today. It's found in Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26, and I just want to read those verses to you. Jesus said, Luke writes, "When they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area, surrounded by many of His followers and by the crowds. They were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from as far north as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. And those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone tried to touch Him because healing power went out from Him, and He healed everyone. Then Jesus turned to His disciples and said, 'God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man. When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets that same way. Jesus goes on and says, what sorrow awaits you who are rich, for you have your only happiness now. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now, for your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. What sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds, for their ancestors also praised false prophets. So this is God's good news for you today. In God's upside-down kingdom, the empty get filled. In God's upside-down kingdom, the empty get filled. Now, some of you may be thinking, my life is pretty full as it is. You know, my life is full of people. It's full of running here and there. It's full of noise, full of screens and social media, full of stress and anxiety. But that's not the kind of fullness that we're looking for, especially if we're created to be filled with the fullness of God. But it is the kind of fullness that the honeypot ant experiences. Now, I realize that some of you may be disgusted by ants. I happen to be married to someone that is disgusted by ants. And we lived in Arizona for 5 years. And ants are everywhere in Arizona. They're inside, they're outside, they are everywhere in Arizona. And they are everywhere constantly. There are ants in lines. You can find ants in lines like this all over Arizona. There are ants in blobs. You can find them like this all over Arizona. If you leave food out on your counter in Arizona, there will be ants on your counter. Ants are everywhere. But those are just the ants that we actually see. There are actually some ants who are not so active. Somewhere deep within the anthill, there are ants known as honeypot ants. Have you ever heard of these folks, these little ants? They're called honeypot ants. And they make their chamber look like a hangar for tiny blimps because they're just kind of hung there and they're stuffed full of nectar. They are living storehouses filled with the anthill's surplus food. They are filled to overflowing, and they are condemned to a stationary life of just hanging there, being endlessly overstuffed, unable to do anything else. And it makes you kind of wonder, do they know that they will never see the light of day? Do they know that all they will ever know is being filled and stuffed to the max, that they will never know anything but the emptiness of hanging there stuffed full? If you think about it, that could describe the life of a lot of people today. Like I said before, our lives are filled to overflowing. We are constantly, endlessly overstuffed with activities, with work, with appointments, with screens, with news feeds, with information, with overflowing email inboxes, with the buzzing and ringing of phones, with problems, with anxiety, with entertainment, with food, with addiction, so much more. Does being overflowing full sound familiar to any of you? And how many of you are left feeling empty, wondering, there's got to be more to life than this? There's got to be more to life than this overfilled to overflowing and yet feeling empty. You sense that even though life is full to overflowing with a lot of stuff, there's a growing restlessness inside of you that something is missing, that you hunger and thirst for something that all of this overflowing fullness just can't seem to satisfy. Are you so full that you find yourself empty? This is the scene that we see in Luke chapter 6. In verses 17, we see that Jesus has come down from a mountain where he chose his 12 closest disciples. And Luke says that the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area. And I just want to say that I think it is so important for us to remember that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. There is no pecking order at the foot of the cross. No one is more important or insignificant based on a label from society or your lot in life. We are all equally in need at the foot of the cross. We are all equally empty and bankrupt and broken and in desperate need to be filled with something that will last and that will make us whole. And some people recognize this state of life more easily than others. You see it in verses 18 through 19. It says, there were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from as far north as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone tried to touch him because healing power went out from him, and he healed everyone. This is a desperate group that is surrounding Jesus. They wanted to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled wanted to be healed to the point that everyone was trying to touch Jesus because healing power was going out from him, and they were desperate. They had come to Jesus to mend them, to put them together, to put together their broken parts, and to fill their emptiness. Jesus is in the midst of this huge crowd of desperate people, people longing to be filled, when he preaches a radical sermon about God's upside-down kingdom to his disciples there with him. And he describes it from a blessing and curse perspective. And he starts with the blessings. Listen to what he says in verses 20 to 23. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets the same way. So these words, they may not sound all of that stunning to you, but to the people listening to Jesus, not only were they stunning, they were dumbfounding, they were flabbergasting, and not only that, but they were also really, really good news to them. The word that Jesus uses there for bless is a word called makarios. And most translations will use blessed or happy for this word. But James Ryan Smith, a Bible scholar and teacher, explains that those words, blessed or happy, really don't do justice to the full meaning of makarios. He says it's best translated as those who are truly well off, or those whom everything is really good. That's what makarios is all about. Now, for Jesus' listeners, to hear that the poor and hungry and the weepers and the excluded, mocked, and cursed were truly well off, who had it really good, for them to hear that, that was unthinkable. That wasn't the thinking of the Jewish people. They thought that those were signs of a curse, that if you were hungry or sick or excluded, there was some sort of curse going on in your life, that somehow God didn't want you, and so you were cut off from God, that you couldn't be included in God's kingdom. In the minds of the Jewish leader, being included in God's kingdom was mainly reserved for a small group of people, the wealthy, healthy Jewish men. Sorry, ladies, you just didn't make it back then. But Jesus flips that on its head. James Ryan Smith says, these folks, the poor, the hungry, the weepers, the rejected, and the insulted, they're not truly well off or blessed because they're poor or hungry or rejected. No, they are truly well off because Jesus has come to welcome them into God's upside-down kingdom. And in God's upside-down kingdom, the empty get filled. And they're now welcomed into God's kingdom. Jesus has said they are welcome. So in the eyes of the religious elite, these people were cut off from God because of their circumstances in life. Jesus says, no, that's not the way it works. He turns that thinking upside down and says, they have just as much access to the fullness of God's kingdom as the rich and the well-fed and the happy laughers. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Not only does he announce blessings of being truly well off, but he also announces curses. And that would be what his listeners would hear when he said, what sorrow awaits you? And you'll see that phrase quite a bit here in these next verses. Jesus says, what sorrow awaits you who are rich, for you have your only happiness now. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now, for your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. What sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds, for their ancestors also praised the false prophets. So does this mean that Jesus doesn't like rich people or the well-fed? I mean, if that's the case, we're all in trouble, right? We are all in trouble. Because in America, we're all wealthy compared to the rest of the world. I mean, did you know that if you make just $25,000 in 1 year, you're in the top 2% of the wealthiest people, of the richest people in the world? At just $25,000, that puts you in the top 2% in the world. Not here in the U.S., but in the world. So the good news is that God does accept the rich, those of us that are rich. He does accept the well-fed and the prosperous and the laughers. Here's the problem. When we have so much in our lives that our lives are filled to overflowing, we can either think that we have no need for God or we just simply forget our need for God. When our lives get so full, so filled to the max, we either think, I don't need God, I've got it all taken care of, or we just simply forget. Wealth, possessions, social media, smartphones, the pursuit of success, addictions, you name it, all these things and so much more numb us to our need for God. And so we fill ourselves full to stuffed. And yet there are plenty of us that still feel empty. And this is why sorrow awaits us. I mean, think about this, folks. Being stuffed full but still feeling empty, that's a curse. I mean, have you ever had one of those times where you ate and ate and ate at this really fantastic meal and you got stuffed to the point that you were just about to explode? Imagine if you lived that way every single day and yet you still felt empty. That's a curse, isn't it? If you go through life that way, that is a curse. And Jesus wants us to understand, in God's upside-down kingdom, the empty get filled. The empty get filled. The ones who can admit, I'm empty, I need something that God has for me. I saw an example of this on the TV show New Amsterdam. One of the storylines in this show is about a young female doctor. Her name is Dr. Bloom, who is driven to succeed. And she is driven so much that she has started taking more of her Adderall prescription than is prescribed. And for those of you that don't know, Adderall is a medicine that is used for people who struggle with ADHD because it helps people to focus. It's a stimulant. It's basically speed. And a lot of people use it because when they're so exhausted, they just kind of take more of it to kind of keep pushing through, even when they're really tired. And so Dr. Bloom, her life is full. It's filled to full with her job. She is driven to be the best ER doc possibly. And she can't take a break from it. So she keeps coming back and working more and more and more, even though she's exhausted. And what does she do? She keeps taking more and more and more Adderall. She is stuffed full of work. She is stuffed full of success. And she is stuffed full of Adderall. But she's still empty. And some of the other doctors that work with her begin to report her addiction to the medical director of the hospital. Until finally she has to go see the staff psychologist, who discovers the pain behind this drivenness that she has. It's an alcoholic mother. And not only an alcoholic mother, but a father who abandoned her to take care of her alcoholic mother and her 12-year-old sister. A father who abandoned her so he could go off and pursue a successful career as a doctor, so that Dr. Bloom, when she was younger, could take care of her alcoholic mom and her sister. And so Dr. Bloom, she's stuffed full, but she's empty. And yet she's not having it with the psychologist either. She refuses to admit that her unresolved family baggage is a problem. She refuses to admit that her addiction to Adderall is a problem. She refuses to admit that she's stuffed full but empty, until finally she hits rock bottom and she comes back to talk to her psychologist friend, because she recognizes that her fullness is really empty. And she begins to tell him how she escaped the chaos of her childhood home. But that escape meant leaving behind a 12-year-old sister with her broken mother so she could go to med school. And Dr. Bloom admits the shame and the guilt that she feels for leaving her sister behind, because her sister has become an addict as well. She's in her fourth round of recovery. And her psychologist friend helps her to see that is not on you. You were a kid that was, and that was not your job. He says, you did not fail. It took incredible strength to do what you've done. And Dr. Bloom responds, I don't feel strong. And then her psychologist friend says this, you only need to be strong enough to do one more thing. And with tears streaming down her face, she says, I need help. I need help. Incredibly courageous words. I need help. I'm empty, Jesus, and I need help. Those are words that can lead you to fullness. Fullness with the fullness of God. Can you say those words today? These are words that Jesus responds to so well. He responds to them with tenderness and compassion. And I think they are words that we could all say a lot more often. Am I right? I mean, I know I could say them a lot more often myself. Jesus, I need to be filled with your fullness. Not the empty substitutes that I so often turn to. Jesus, I need help. I have a dear friend who, for years while I was serving in pastoral ministry, would send me a prayer. She would text me a prayer on Sunday mornings for my day, just kind of as an encouragement to me. And one Sunday morning, she sent me a prayer filled with Jesus' words. And she reminded me, these are his words to you today. And this is what they were. I have loved you and told you that my joy and delight are in you. Our joy is in him loving us. I have loved you and told you that my joy and delight are in you. Our joy and delight is in him loving us. Those words are a reality that I need to fill my emptiness instead of empty substitutes. You see, I'm the product of a one-night stand. My mom and my dad got together one night, and that was it. My dad left the scene. I didn't know him until I was 36 years old. And not only that, but my mom let me know so many times, you weren't part of my plan for my life. You were an unplanned, unwanted accident. So there are times, more times than I want to admit, that it is hard for me to believe that I was made to be loved by God. That's my empty spot in my life. And that's where I turn to all kinds of different things in order to try and fill it up. Whether it's success or people liking me or people pleasing and a whole lot of other things to try and fill that empty spot up of being hearing those words over and over again. You are an unplanned, unwanted accident. It's the spot that needs to be filled by Jesus in God's upside-down kingdom. And it was years ago that I came across a quote by a theologian and professor at Asbury Seminary, and I have his words in my office, and it's this, I have it in my office. It says, our life is immersed in blessing because we were spoken forth out of his heart, out of the heart of God's love. From before the foundations of the earth, this is our identity. There are no accidental pregnancies or surprise pregnancies with God. There are also no accidental survivors. God has you here for a purpose, and the primary one is to love and enjoy you. I need that. I need that to be reminded every day that I need help and that there's an empty spot in me. It reminds me to say, I need this empty spot filled. And you know what? There are days when God does that in a powerful way. This morning, I'm just driving down here to North Webster in my car, listening to some quiet music. The sun is shining. The countryside is beautiful. And there was just that whisper. Troy, you are my beloved son. I am so pleased with you. And you're going to do great today because I'm going to fill you up and it's just going to overflow onto my people. And there was such a peace in that this morning. And I need that. I need to be filled with that fullness of God. So what is it for you? Is your life stuffed full like a honeypot ant and yet you still feel the emptiness? Are you stuffed to the max with a busy life? With houses and cars and toys and jobs and running kids here, there, and everywhere, with social media and smartphones and cable news. Maybe it's filled with addictions, the pursuit of success, with work, and yet you are numb to your need for God. Can you say, Jesus, I need help? I'm empty and I need to be filled. Can you say that today? Which one of you in Jesus' list, the poor, the hungry, the weepers, the excluded, the rejected, the mocked, those who know that they are empty and they need to be filled? Or are you the rich and the well-fed, the prosperous and the laughers who are stuffed but really empty and don't know their need to be filled with the fullness of God? In God's upside-down kingdom, the empty get filled. So what is Jesus' invitation to you today? Is he inviting you to admit your emptiness? Is he making you aware of your hunger and your poverty and your neediness? Is he saying to you, what sorrow awaits you because you are so full and you don't realize that fullness is actually emptiness and you need me to fill you with the fullness of God? What is God's invitation to you today? How is the Holy Spirit at work in your life? I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes and to just listen for a moment. What is God's invitation to you today? I want to ask you to stay in a posture of prayer and openness to God. Because I'm going to read these words that are up on the screen, Ephesians 3, 18 and 19, several times. And I want you to just let these words wash over you. Listen to them. Let them wash over you, and maybe there's a word or a phrase that will strike you, how God is speaking to you today. Hear these words. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. May you have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To know that this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Imagine how wide and how long and high and deep is God's love. Just try to imagine it. Now consider how God wants to pour his wide and long and high and deep love right into your emptiness. Maybe you can imagine one of those huge buckets at a water park filled with refreshing warm water. And God pours it all out, all over you, filling every one of your empty places. What does it look like for you to receive this gift from God? Can you rest in how deeply loved you feel right now? Ephesians 3 once again says, may you have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How does God want to fill your life today? What is he saying? How does he want to do it? And can you say, Jesus, I need help. I'm empty. Heavenly Father, thank you for your people. Lord, I want to lift each and every person in this room up right now. That, Lord, they might have the courage to say, I need help. I'm empty and I need to be filled up by Jesus. Lord, maybe there's somebody here today that has never said those words to you. They've never actually accepted your offer of forgiveness of sins, of your offer to live with them and in them, of your offer to begin experiencing abundant eternal life, both now and forever. If there's anybody doing that right now, Lord, if they realize that's them right now, may they just cry out to you. Jesus, I need help. Jesus, please forgive me. Jesus, I want you to fill me. Jesus, I want you to show me the way to live. Jesus, I want you to live with me and help me experience your abundant eternal life, both now and forever. Father God, would you fill all of us today? Because we all need help. Thank you for your son Jesus, that he came and he lived among us. He loved us. He taught us how to live as he would live. And then he showed us what love really looks like by hanging on a cross and dying for us, making it possible for us to be filled by you. Father, thank you. for that amazing gift. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Stacked against me, I'm surrounded on all sides, but I've heard you can part the waters, so in your name, come and turn the tide. Staring at this mountain, no chance I'm getting through, but I've heard you can part the water, so in your name I'm asking it. Let that breakthrough, miracle, power pour out. I need a breakthrough, miracle, moment right now. Only in you and with you, my victory is found. Bring that breakthrough, miracle, power. Finished, I know you overcome. bring that breakthrough. Miracle power, let it rain. Bring that breakthrough. Miracle power, let it rain down. Let it rain down on us. The cross that stands before me, it is finished, it is done. Yeah, I heard you told death it was over. So in your name, I claim this fight is won.
As you go, would you stand with me this morning? And as you go, may you know how wide and how long and how high and how deep God's love for you really is. And may knowing His love fill every empty spot in you. May it fill you with the fullness of God. And may you be transformed into a person of great love. For God's glory, for your own good, and for the good of others. You're loved. Go in peace.